Philippians 4. You may not have noticed, so I will help you notice. The scripture talks about the God of peace. And then it says the God of peace, and it talks about the Prince of peace, and then it talks about the gospel of peace, and then it makes the declaration, peace on earth. That means the God of peace sent the Prince of peace with a gospel of peace to declare peace on earth. Is that amazing? That's how the scripture wraps together. Now we're going to talk today about what causes great distress when we should be walking in peace. Peace is the presence of God in your life. When we talk about peace, they say freedom from aggravation, freedom from irritation, freedom from distress. But it's those freedoms because God is here. And because we walk with Him, we have His presence, we have His power, and we have His promises. And with His presence, His power, and His promises, if we walk according to those, then we have peace beyond, and it says in Scripture, beyond understanding. In other words, it's completely supernatural. Now, one time I had some point of distress, and it really distressed me. Have you had a distressing point of distress? And I had prayed, and I went round and round. We have a 6-foot kitchen island. I went round and round and round and round and prayed and prayed and round and round. And suddenly something came upon me, and I couldn't remember what I was distressed about. Supernatural peace came. So you have that privilege, that right, to a peace that says beyond your understanding. I don't know exactly how that happened, except God came. And when God comes, the presence of God, then we're free from distress. And if you're distressed, then you need to walk around my island. So, one lady asked about that, so I'll just tell you that you may have to find your own island. Go down to the kitchen supply store. And so I'm just here to walk around the island and pray. They'll appreciate that. Now, maybe. Verse 6 says, be careful for nothing. We use the word careful meaning be cautious, watch your step. That isn't what it means here. It means don't worry. And the translators say, don't worry about anything. In other words, don't be full of care or full of worry or full of concern. Don't fret. Don't be anxious. The key word in that is this four-letter word with the apostrophe in it. Don't. Don't do that. Now, I didn't say that. I'm just repeating it. It's written. Don't do that. Well, when my mama said don't, that's exactly what she meant. She didn't mean do a time or two more and then quit. If she'd have meant that, she'd have said, do that one more time, and that's it. You're finished. But when she said, don't, you're finished. And God said, don't worry about anything. There isn't any trauma in life that's going to disturb our peace or is going to prevent us from walking in peace. It's going to prevent us from walking in the presence of God. Peace is the presence of God. And when we have God present, we have supernatural peace. Now, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Prayer, supplication is a request. Prayer is a general word for prayer. Words of prayer and words of request with thanksgiving. Now, if you knew I was very wealthy and you needed money, you wouldn't know unless I had made you a promise if I'm going to give you any money or not. So you couldn't hardly say, thank goodness, I'll just talk to Becky. Thank you, Father. I'll just talk to Becky and she'll write me the check. If you're positive of that, you're full of thanksgiving. And I'm positive of the promises of God. I'm positive that He keeps His word. I'm positive that I can walk in peace no matter what the trauma, what the difficulty. And it says, with thanksgiving. You know, Paul and Silas in prison, they sang praises and gave thanks to God. See, and the reason we sing praises and give thanks to God is because He's promised. And we have not only His promise, but the Spirit of God that hovers. One man, he's a Jewish rabbi, he said, we talk about Passover, that God is going to pass over. And he said in the original language, and I haven't checked this out, but I like this. He said it means to hover, that God hovers. Is that a nice image, a visual image, that God hovers? And in my distress, I have perfect peace. Why? Because He promised and He hovers. Isn't that nice? Okay. Be careful for nothing, everything, but we're going to pray with thanksgiving. Why? Because God is here, and He has promised, and He's going to keep His word, and I know that. Now, I'm going to have to do something with my mind, because I cannot always keep my mind in the right place. Have you noticed that your mind tends to jump ship? With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And, verse 7, the peace of God which passes all understanding, supernatural peace, it just comes. Now, that's why Jude says building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, because that's part of the arsenal, not only meditating in the Word. I can sit in whatever passage I'm reading, meditate, and go over it and over it and over it and over it, and most of the time God comes. And when He comes, there's this supernatural peace, this peace that you didn't ask for, weren't necessarily expecting, but it came in response to the Word, which is life, and it comes in response to your building yourself up. Now, if you're going to build, let's build a shed. We need a shed. We have a shed. We need another shed. And the tree limbs fell, hurricane, you know. We're devoid of, it probably took out 12, 15 trees. Tremendous, tremendous damage to our property. Last night, coming down the driveway with my granddaughter, there was a tree in the drive. It's 150 yards off-road. Well, she got out to lift it, but she couldn't lift it. And when she got back in, and I noticed that tree limb, the leaves were still green. You know what that means? It's attached to something. It's attached to the tree. And if I stay attached to Him who promised, I'm still going to be green. I'm going to be growing. I'm going to be at peace. Freedom from agitation, yes, freedom from distress, freedom from anxiety, but that freedom is provided by the Spirit and the promise of God. It's provided by His presence. That's why. Now, peace of God passes all and shall keep your hearts and minds. That means garrison, that's military, when they surround a building with a garrison of soldiers. Wayne was military, and every now and then he would have to walk around the place where they kept the money and paid the soldiers, you know, at night. He'd have his turn to walk round and round and round. And he's there to keep the money safe. He's garrisoning the money. And the peace comes from the presence to walk round and round my heart and my mind and to keep me stable and steady. Now, I need to know that, and I need to look for that. I know that is going to happen. That is the promise of God. Now, that was my introduction, my short one. Then it says, finally, brethren. I love finally. One preacher we follow several on TV, and he says, okay, now this is my final comment, more or less. sometimes the scripture is pretty quick, finally. Finally, whatever things are true. Whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Sometimes we're thinking, meditating on things with no virtue. Virtue is excellence. And sometimes my mind is not on things excellent. Now, what I want you to see here, he said, think on, this is where my mind is supposed to be. This is what I put in my mind in order to cooperate with the Spirit of God and the promise of God and the power of God so that the peace of God will come and keep me steadfast and stable. I have to do something with my mind. Now, the one I want you to see, virtue is excellence. We're supposed to, everything you think about is supposed to be excellent. Now, you check your mind next time you're going astray and see if that was an excellent thought. And then see how long you've been thinking it. Do you do that? I'm the only one that does that. I live with people who know the Word, know the power, know the Spirit, know the presence, and they'll say, Becky, our mother. And I know it's time to think on things excellent. And what is excellent? What is more excellent than salvation from sin and healing for the physical body and peace beyond understanding? And the word peace means shalom. It's total well-being. It's in any arena. It's to prosper and be in health. It's to do well in life. It's to have a, 3 John says, have a successful journey through life. Now, I've got to think on excellent. But you see above that it says things of good report. I'm supposed to be thinking about the good report. My mind is settled on the good report. I'm thinking about, well, where are you going to find the good report? You can't always find it at a medical facility. Have you noticed that? So you take the good report with you when you go. You make sure you're in the Word. You know what was said. Surely he hath lifted up, carried our griefs, sickness, weakness, distress, pain, and sorrow. That's amplified, Isaiah 53:3, I think. Surely he has lifted up. And the word lifted up there is the word NASA, N-A-S-A. It's the same word that we called our space center, or did call it. I don't know what we call it now. And when they lift that up, often the fire ignites and it begins to go. They always say the same thing. Always say the same thing. They say, we have liftoff. Now, if I know the power of God, the presence of God, I can be walking in the peace of God, peace beyond understanding, peace that came supernaturally as I meditated, as I thanked God that he would help me with this problem. And I can keep my mind on the good report. You know the bad report, and that's generally where minds are. One fellow came to me and he said, oh, tell God I have to have this. Tell him I have to, I have to, I have to. Tell him, be sure you tell him I have to have this. He has to do this. Does that sound like a good report to you? Sounds like fear. Sounds like fear. And sometimes people that come for prayer put you in a bad position. One man wanted his neighbor's wife, and I can tell you how that ended up. I didn't pray. I said, I cannot pray for you. I've got to keep my mind on the report of the Lord. Now, Isaiah 53:1 we did last week. Whose report are you going to believe? I can't believe any report that contradicts the Word of God. And it's when I test what I'm thinking and what I'm saying. Is that the good report? Is that the virtuous, the excellent report? Now, it doesn't matter. It says whatever true. If it's true, but it's not excellent, you can't say it. You can't think about it. You can't ponder it. It's going to lead you astray. It can be true. It can be honest and not be excellent. Well, we're not going to tell a lie, so it has to be true. But it has to be the truth as God has seen it, as God has spoken to you. It has to be his truth that I'm pondering, that I'm thinking about, that I'm meditating. Stephen Wayne will say, what are you thinking about? Which he would never, because he's not really inquisitive, but he isn't. But I'd say, oh, think about how long this is going to take. Think about how much this is going to cost. Think about how much pain this would be. I'm thinking about how much my recovery would take, how long it would take. I'm just, thinking about how many appointments I'd have to make. I'm thinking about how much money. I'm thinking about my insurance. Will it pay? All of that may be true, but it isn't excellent. It isn't the report of the Lord.
That's right.
You've got to have the report of the Lord. You've got to have the good report. Now turn to John 14. Who's going to receive the report of the Lord? Well, the man who has the report of the Lord has a better chance of believing the report. Precious lady came with her friend, and her friend wanted to be born again, and she didn't know how to help her. Well, I was sad about that. On the other hand, I appreciated her boldness to say, I can't help her. I don't know what to tell her. See, each of us ought to be able to say and speak about our body, about our finances, about our salvation and our freedom from sin. That's the report. There's a basic report that goes into every spirit and every heart, and that's the report, all those basics that we think about and ponder. Now, Jesus said, he's talking to the disciples, let not your heart be troubled. Now, we read that all the time, and I don't know if we get it, but let me help you. Let not your heart be troubled. Who's the pressure on there? If I say, let not your heart be troubled, I'm putting the pressure on you. God said, don't let your heart be troubled, anxious, distressed, because God is here. He said, believe in me and believe in the Father. See, I have a responsibility. And what the teaching on the sovereignty of God does, because a lot of it is not correct, it eliminates my responsibility. And anything God told me to do, I must do. I'm responsible to do what He said I could do. There's some things I can't do, and those things He does. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He starts it, He finishes it. But in between, there's always, most always, a divine assignment, unless it's a gift of healing, which we've talked about. A divine assignment, something I'm supposed to do, something that's my responsibility. Now, if you had a house full of children and you left them with certain responsibility and you came back and they hadn't done anything, then you can't do what you were going to do because they didn't do what they were supposed to do. See, if the Lord told me to give you $100, and I just really didn't want to give you $100, I don't know if it happens to you, but sometimes I have to meditate on things. I have to think. The time the Lord said, bake apple pie for a neighbor. I didn't even know the neighbor. She's going to heaven now, but she would wave at me, and we're a good distance from anybody, and she'd wave, and she'd talk, and I don't have a clue what she said. I'd go, uh-huh, oh, wow, yeah, Wayne said, what'd she say? I don't know. Did you hear? I didn't hear. So I'm not real thrilled about baking apple pie. I don't even know her. She thinks I do because she talks a lot. But when I finally decided to go down to the ditch and see if it had water in it, it's a drainage ditch and canal from Lake Parker, and sometimes it has lots of water. The recent season, it's had lots of water. Sometimes it has no water. So I go down and check. Well, it's wadeable. I thought, so I finally got my apple pie together. We bake apple pie in a paper bag. It's unique, and it's quite lovely. It's not my recipe, but I've claimed it. I've used it so many times. And so I went over there, and I knocked on her door, and she was surprised to see me, but she called me in, and we talked, and we chatted. See, God has a plan. If I do my part, He can do His part. Now, my daddy lived at 304. He always called his house 304. Her children and grandchildren lived at 308, but not in Lakeland, because I was raised in Auburndale. And when I looked across at her piano, there were the picture of the three grandchildren. I know them because I babysat for them one time. Now, all that came through the apple pie. See, God has a plan. You got to let Him work out His plan. But I've got to keep my mind on excellence, keep my mind on the good report. I've got to cooperate with my divine assignment. So if I'm going to, you have got my $100 bill, I'm going to give you $100, but I really don't want to give you $100. Well, on my part, I'm believing for you to give me $100. And you don't come. And I said to the Lord, why hasn't my $100 come? He said, because the person I assigned to give it to you didn't come and obey. That's what He said to me. And so the delay is not the Alpha or the Omega. The delay is all these people in the middle who are supposed to hear and obey, who are supposed to hear what God said, hear His promise, and walk in His presence and walk in His power and say, okay, I'll do that. So He said, don't let your heart be troubled. You keep your mind on the good report. And if you find yourself straying from the good report, which everybody does, so that doesn't point a finger at anybody, then you repent real quick and go back to the good report. And then if you have to, you call your 3 a.m. person. You remember them? You call your 3 a.m. person and said, I have just dug the biggest ditch with my mind. And you let them help you with the scripture, and by praying for you, help you get out of that ditch and get back to a sound mind. It's supposed to have a sound mind. That's in 1 Timothy. And you will never have a sound mind thinking about the bad report. You got that? That's how the Lord dealt with me, is about the bad report. Now He says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe in me. That's the good report. Where's the good report? It's found in them. It's found in my knowing that good report, knowing what God said He would do, and believing that report. And my talking about that report, this is what God is doing. This is what He said He would do. This is a promise of the scripture. And go over to verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, Comforter means one called alongside to help. and it has about seven different meanings. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send, he'll teach you all things. He's going to make sure that you understand the good report. All things is all things. He's going to make sure you are walking in the good report, that you can identify the good report, that you're sticking with the good report. He's going to teach you. And he's going to expand my knowledge. My knowledge of what I need and what God has said to me may be very narrow, but as I begin to walk and his presence becomes stronger and stronger, I get greater understanding of my part, what God is going to do, what he's going to begin and what he's going to finish. He's going to begin something. He's going to finish something. And in the middle is me being obedient and constantly thinking only of the good report. Now, if you'd seen our property after the hurricane, you almost had to keep your mouth shut. There wasn't a good report anywhere. The driveway was blocked, everything. But Wayne got out. He's a solo. You know, we have no helpers. Our daughter-in-law came and helped. And then this guy down the road came with his tractor. We don't even know who he was. He lives just down from us, sort of. But we live here, and they all live out on the road. And he came. And we found out he had a very serious need. He just mentioned, I can't come back because. And see, we were his middle. I can't heal him. I can show him the word. And in between is we who pray for him. See, sometimes you're the middleman. You've got to take the report that was given to me and help me fulfill that report. You've got to help me walk in that report. You've got to help me do that. Now, Wayne gets calls frequently because he refinished old furniture. And somebody looking for something, hunting something, and he always gives them, because he's not in business anymore, he gives them the same man's name. Well, you got to take the furniture to him. Some places pick up. We don't have but one place in Lakeland now. And you got to take it to him, and you got to pick it up. When Wayne retired, he had a piece of furniture coming in, a massive old piece, and he told the lady that he wasn't going to be able to do it for her, and there were some reasons for that. And when he did, she said, oh, we will help you, we will help you. Is anything we can do to help you, we'll help you. We'll bring it. We'll take it. We'll take the mirror down. See, she was desperate, but I'm not desperate because God started this, and he's going to finish it. And in between is me with a quality of peace that's heaven provided that doesn't stress me out most of the time. So when it does stress me out, I say, now, Becky, listen to me. Do you talk to yourself? I said, Becky, you listen to me. Then he says, the Comforter, Holy Ghost, Father will send. He'll teach you. He's going to show me the scripture that I need. He's going to stand by me. He's going to bring his power and his presence so that I can walk successfully. And he's going to help me to identify when I jump ship and I'm thinking of the bad report. You know, like this won't work. This is really painful. This is going to cost me a lot of money. And one person said, okay, I know what you teach. She said, I've quoted my scripture over and over and over and over again, so it is time for God to do something. I have quoted the scripture. Well, what she's doing is calling God a liar. Isn't that what she did? So, I'm a very clever prayer. Very clever. I learned that from Wayne. This little kid wanted a wife. He was not wife material, I'm just telling you. He was not husband material. And he wanted a wife. And I happened by Wayne, so he asked for prayer, and Wayne was praying for him. And I was listening to Wayne pray, and I thought, very, very clever. Very clever. He answered the guy's request, but he didn't request a wife. He prayed for his happiness. He prayed for his success in life. He prayed to he would over... And the guy was just deliriously happy. He went away happy, and I said, you never did pray for his wife. And Wayne went, couldn't do it. That's what the Holy Ghost does. He's the Comforter. He's a helper. He's going to help you. You're not that smart. I'm not that smart. Every now and then I say something so brilliant, I think, get my pencil. I have to write that down. Never thought of that. It wasn't my thought. It's Holy Ghost thought. It was the Comforter who's in me. He's there to teach me. He's to bring things to my remembrance. And what things are going to bring to your remembrance, he's going to say to you, was that the good report? He's reminding you, that wasn't the good report that you're talking about, that you're camping on. And then he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. Now, the world's peace depends upon circumstances. Depends upon you have enough money. Things are really working out for you. You appreciate all the help you've got. The world's peace depends on circumstances. It depends on the physical senses. It depends upon the body. But God's peace only depends upon his power, his presence, and his promise. If I have the power, the presence, and the promise, then I have his peace. And he said, this is not the peace the world gives. In other words, this doesn't, we're supposed to crucify the flesh. That means my flesh cannot tell me what God is or isn't doing. And sometimes that's what we judge things. And I'm just like you. I like instant. I don't want to wait a long time. But you need to be prepared, because God always keeps his word. Amen. Every time. Peace I leave with you, my peace. The same peace that Jesus had when he walked towards the cross is now resident in you. Now, peace is a fruit of the Spirit. It's listed in Galatians chapter 9 with the nine fruit. It's fruit of eternal life. It's the fruit, it's not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's the fruit of the human spirit as it leans upon the Holy Spirit. See, we talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit can't bear much fruit if you're not going to work with him, hear what he says, let him teach you, and walk in the word. It's peace, supernatural peace, because you're a student of the word. Now look at Proverbs 4. He said, I'm going to give you peace. Do you notice he said, my peace? The peace that Jesus had is now in me. Proverbs 4, very familiar. We teach it, we read it, we jump up and down on it. I'm going to read it to you and show you the verse under it. He said, my son, attend to my words. Okay, we're on a path for peace. Peace in every circumstances. We're going to stick with the good report, stick with the God report, knowing that the God report is alive. He says the word is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. So the God report is alive. It has life, and it's working mightily in me. Now he says, pay attention to that. That means pay attention. Incline your ear means listen very carefully. Let them not depart from your eyes. Watch very closely. He's talking about the word and our time in the word. It's our time in the word that cooperates with God, that keeps his presence on the scene and keeps me steadfast and unmovable while I'm waiting for God to do. And he is going to do and keep his promise. Now, pay close attention. Listen very carefully. Watch very closely. Keep them in the middle of your heart. Guard that word continually. Don't turn loose of that word. Now, everybody's forgotten something. Went to the refrigerator, opened the door, and you can't remember why you were there. Did you do that already? And about the time you close the refrigerator and go down the hall, you think, you know what you needed? It's kind of what the Holy Ghost does. He kind of elbows you and said, hey, wait a minute. What did the word say to you? We're to keep our mind on the good, virtuous report. The good report, the excellent report. It can be true, but it has to be excellent. It has to be good. And I'm to keep my mind there all the time. And the way to keep my mind there is keep my mind in the promises of God. Now, Wayne usually keeps his promise. I usually keep my promise. But we're only human. Sometimes I'll say, I forgot. God, Jesus never forgets. You know that song? Jesus never forgets. He didn't forget. Maybe you did. Well, they are alive. That's why we're keeping on in the word and the good report, because it brings life. To those that find them. Do you see those that find them? Have you ever hunted? You hunted Easter eggs, right? I don't know if we ever did that or not. I don't remember doing that. We used to do that with the children at Wayne's mama's. That was her thing, and we loved that. They are life unto those that find them. If you're going to find anything, you got to Look for it. Isn't that right? And where are you going to find the promise that you need that's going to hold you steadfast, that's going to keep you with peace beyond understanding? In the Word. So how are you going to put it in your heart and make a deposit? So I can fill out the deposit slip and leave it. We have a little section at the kitchen called the post office. I can leave it there in the post office, and it can stay there forever and ever. Somebody's got to pick it up and take it to the post office. We don't have a mailbox. You do, but we don't. And the reason is because it's so far to the road, and the kids kept destroying the mailbox. So, and we were out of the country a lot in those days, so we got rid of the mailbox. Now, he said, it brings life if you can find it. Well, where are you going to find the good report? Where are you going to find it? You're going to find it in the Word. You're going to read it. Now, this isn't a race to the finish. I know some people read the Bible through every year. One gentleman, he used to come here occasionally. I think he's now in heaven. He would read the Bible through every year, and every year he read a different translation. Quite intriguing. The year I talked to him, he was reading the New Jerusalem. Now, if you're going to find something, you got to look for it. And once you look for it, you got to listen to it all the time. And you got to keep looking at it. You can't turn loose of it. You cannot. You see this sentence? I got that from. Don't let the promise of God be overcome by the bad report. And if I keep looking at the bad report, it's going to be look to me like this is never going to happen. I told you there's a book called, I don't think you can get anymore, called Healed of Cancer. It's written by a lady in Georgia, and somebody gave me a copy and said, is this true? Well, I was new at healing. I didn't know, so let me read it. And it was quite intriguing because her husband had cancer, and he went to work as long as he could, and then he got where he couldn't go to work. He was his own boss, but he couldn't go anymore. He couldn't stay in the chair. He was in just tremendous agony with disease. And so eventually he ended up in the hospital, and came in, the doctor, and said, now he will be dead by morning. He will not live through the night. And the last thing he said when he was fading into unconsciousness, the last thing he said to his wife was, don't you ever turn loose of me. I will live and not die. He said, I will live. Don't you ever turn loose of me. And their pastor came in, loving, I'm sure, but he said, I'll be with you in the morning to help you make the funeral arrangements. And she stood all night all alone with, you will live and not die. You will live and not die. You will live and not die. She stood on the promise. It's an amazing story. Well, I wanted some more books, and I couldn't find any anywhere because it's just a little lady in Georgia that wrote the book. And so I remember she said she worked in a bookstore in a particular town, so I called the Chamber of Commerce. I'm not usually that bold, but I called Chamber of Commerce, and I said, do you know how to reach Joe Lawson? And they said, yes, I'll give you the number of the bookstore. And I called and talked to her on the phone. She answered the phone and talked to her, and she mailed me the books I wanted, half of them with her signature in it. And he lived, they're both gone now, but he lived many, many years after that. You know why? Amen. They hung to God's report. Yes. They refused to turn loose of God's report. Yes. And when he couldn't hold fast, she held fast for him. And he breathed, you could hear him breathing down the corridor of the hospital. And when Jesus came actually and healed him, he saw Jesus. And when he saw Jesus and was healed, they could no longer hear him breathing. The nurses came running from the station. They thought, oh, he's gone, he's dead, because he's not breathing loud anymore. She said, no, he's sleeping. And he was totally healed. He had a multiple bad report. He didn't let it dominate his mind. He didn't let it dominate his thinking. He kept putting the scripture, and the book covers a lot of the scriptures that they believed for. I ordered books. A lady wanted books. A church wanted books. And we never did. See, sometimes God is not as fast as you wanted him to be. And I gave her the name, and she ordered the books, but they never did come. And then we found out Mr. Lawson had died earlier, and she had suddenly died. And I just said, we don't know how to reach anybody. It was over a year later that her daughter called me on the phone. Her daughter said, I just found your note to my mother. God always comes through. Said, do you still want these books? And I said, yes, the church that wanted them, I'm sure still wants them. Please send them. Because God always keeps his word. And she wanted to keep her mother's word. Her mother promised, but she died and she couldn't fulfill her promise. There's no mail from heaven to earth. This is good news. You will not get a light bill. Now look, here's verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence. The heart is the spirit. That's where you're putting the word of God. That's where you're putting the promise. That's where you're putting the power of God and stirring yourself up in the Holy Ghost. Keep your heart. Be diligent about keeping the good report in your heart. Just be real diligent. Keep your heart. Guard your heart. For out of it are the issues of life. Where does healing come from? It comes from the heart, the spirit, the inward man. That's where the life is. And when the word of God, which is life, goes into my spirit, which has eternal life, then the word of God can begin to work in my spirit, and healing actually comes from the inside out. It comes from the inside out. And so I'm supposed to guard my heart, and the thing that messes up the heart, turn to 2 Corinthians, is my mind. You knew that, didn't you? Am I the only one that has to pick up their thoughts and throw them out again? Start over? Huh? Okay. Verse 3, chapter 10, 2 Corinthians. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. That's a military word, war. We live in this flesh and it has a particular responsibility. I always tell you, the flesh is responsible for stop signs and red lights. You don't have to lean on your spirit for your spirit to tell you that is a stop sign. The flesh has a job, but it cannot bring healing. That's why it has to be crucified. It cannot perfect or perform the promises of God. So we do not war. Any war you have with disease, any war you have financially, any war you have in relationships cannot be won by the flesh, which says, this is how I see it. This is what I've heard. There are five physical senses. And those senses will not win the war. That's right. They're for comfort. They're for enjoyment. They're for obedience. But they're not for war. And then it says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Carnal means of the flesh. You know carnivores. Mighty through God to the pulling down strong. The weapons that God sends will pull down a stronghold. Now, why would God pull down a stronghold, which is a word for fortress? Why is he pulling that fortress down? What built that fortress? Your thoughts that were not consistent with the scripture. That's the fortress in your mind where Satan hides. He builds a fortress. He hides there. And the more I think about how bad this is and how wrong this is and how this never works out for me, I'm just talking to myself today. You just are privileged to hear what I need. Then here's what we're going to do with this stronghold that Satan built. The minute I realize the thought I'm thinking, it's not virtuous, it's not a good thought, it's not an excellent thought. Cast down imaginations, and that's also the word to reason. When you cast something down, you throw it away, you destroy it, you throw it down. Cast it down. Why? Because you just figured out it's building a stronghold for Satan. Satan's hiding in that fortress, hiding in that stronghold, and you're getting worse and worse because your thoughts are on the bad report. Now, I may get a bad report. Everybody's got a bad report. I could give you several bad reports. My daddy needed hip surgery, which they couldn't do because of his age and his heart condition and so forth. And his bones... There was no, these bones ran together like this. When he walked, you could hear him going, click, 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 click. That's not a good report. But we have to hold fast to the word of God, to what God has said. Don't ever let the bad report destroy the word of the Lord in you. You see that, don't you? Cast that report down, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bring to captivity every thought. Every thought has to obey Christ. So take that thought captive. If it's not God, then so you take it captive. In other words, you bind that thought, and you refuse to keep thinking and pondering that thought. Now look at Romans 8. I love that verse. Take that thought captive. If it's contrary to what God is saying, imprison it. Refuse to think and ponder it. You got that, right? Romans 8. We give you all the glory. You might not ever have battles with your mind, but I do. Verse 6. To be carnally minded is death. You remember Corinthians, Paul said the weapons of our warfare? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, are not of the flesh. Now, the carnal mind is the mind of the flesh. To be carnally minded is death. That's death, destruction, despondency, despair. You're going in the wrong direction. You believe the wrong report. You don't believe the report of the Lord. You've gotten the report of your flesh. And the mind, your mind and your flesh have joined in allegiance and are leading you on the wrong path. A carnal mind is the mind, the soul, and the flesh working together. And the flesh says to the soul, this is what I see, this is what I feel, this is what I know is happening. And the mind joins with the flesh. The mind is supposed to say, that is not God's report. I will not listen to that report. And it says, when the mind and the flesh work together, you head in the wrong direction. Now, have you ever gone somewhere and head the wrong direction? I don't drive. I haven't driven but 3 or 4 times in 20 years. Wayne usually drives. But we went to see my brother years ago. He was a student in Texas. And we stopped at this little restaurant to eat. And Wayne was too tired. He said, I'm too tired to have to have a little nap. And so he said, you get on this road. And he saw me get on the road. I got right on that road. And he woke up later and he said, why is the sun over here? I said, well, I don't know, but I haven't budged. This is the road you put me on. You can see that by the road sign. It's the road you put me on. He went back to sleep. And after a while, we passed the restaurant where we had lunch. We took a circular bypass. We're on the wrong road. If what you're thinking about is destructive to you, if it's not helping you to overcome, you're on the wrong road. That's just the truth. So what are you going to do? You're going to get on the right road. To be carnally minded is death. That means wrong road. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Life and peace. The spiritual mind is the spirit of man and my mind working together. And when my spirit, who knows God, because the Holy Spirit is in there to teach me, and the Holy Spirit begins to deal with my mind and tell my mind what God has said, and my mind grasps the revelation that's given by the Spirit. Now, the flesh is blocked out of this. The flesh is not going to help you. The only purpose of the flesh, it may tell you, you know, you're really sick, and you may think, well, I'll just go to the doctor. That's about all the help the flesh can give you, is to just let you know what it sees. The flesh doesn't matter. I'm crucified with Christ. Romans 12:1, crucify the flesh. It doesn't know God and what God is doing. And so he said, spiritually minded, that's my mind and my spirit working together. And when my mind and my spirit work together, that means I'm more thinking about the good report. The good report. The virtuous, excellent report. I'm just stationed there. I know by Jesus' stripes I was healed. He sent his word and healed me. No weapon formed against me prospers. I know that. And I know I'm his beloved. And he's forgiven my sins, healed my diseases, redeemed me from destruction, and crowned me with loving kindness and tender mercies. That's the 103rd Psalm. I know that. I know that. And when I wake up in the middle of the night, you may not do that, but and you're in pain. So I sit there and quote. And if I can't quote, I'm a master at the 23rd Psalm and the Lord's Prayer and a few others I can quote. But if I get lost in pain, I'm going to put on my MP3 player, plug it in both ears, and listen to somebody else quote for me. There's a lot of them out there, any of them that you like. You need that right by your bedside. Sometimes that's the only 3 a.m. player that you need, the 3 a.m. person. He's in that player. Do y'all know the MP3 machine? Some of you look blank. You know what that is? Okay. Well, there's a lot of people in there. John Hagee's in there. John Osteen's mother is in there. This fellow that memorizes, he's an older man. He memorizes, he quotes the scripture. He quoted, I listened to him quote the whole book of 1 Peter. So exciting. Because I'm trying to keep my mind on the promise of God so that the power of God can function and bring me what I need. I'm trying to overcome the bad report that suddenly when I lay down and woke up, the bad report was, this is what they said, this is what they're going to do, this is how painful this is going to be, this is how long this is going to take. You've got to keep your mind on the good report. And if it goes astray, you need to lasso it and bring it back in. You got that right. We thank you, Father. Raise your hand to heaven. Say, Lord, I covenant with you to stick with the good report. It said, think on the good report. Think on the good report. I'm going to think on the good report. I want to think on the promise. I'm going to listen carefully. Watch closely. Guard my mind, because that report is going to bring life and health to me. I will not turn loose of God's report. I will not honor the devil's report. He will not build a fortress in my mind.